Hi, it's me, and it's time for another episode. I met my twin last night. She wasn't my twin in the traditional sense, but I remembered her face, still so young and unaware of the trouble to come. I could place her at about 16, in the summer before 6th, shyly parading the planet in dresses that flowed like streams, finally accepting that she was enough, because a man told her that she was. With his mouth and a kind tone of voice, in a way that most others couldn't manage. I dreamed of her last night. You know, I told you about my weird dreams. I've been seeing so many people from my past, parading the planet as I retire to rest, pulling at what's left of my mind to try and uncover why I'm suddenly so happy to see the worst days of my life. But now I know. I'm so sure that I only let them explore me again, in the way they invaded before, because I hoped it would bring her out of hiding, and we could escape to the farthest corners of my imagination, so I could be alone with the girl I loved before the world tore her to pieces. It was really weird to see her, you know, myself. You know, there I was, being asleep or whatever, and so suddenly I'm in this car, right? And my grandma is driving it. And I knew that I was on the way to a funeral. I don't know why, because no one told me. I knew, like, in my head, I was like, we're going to a funeral. That's where we're going. It was a very long drive. Also, my grandma was on the wrong side of the car to be driving, but she was still nonetheless driving. So, anyways, we're on the way to a funeral. And I'm me, as I currently am, but the other me is me, I think, when I was, like, 16. I'm just going off of my own memories and, you know, things like that. But she sort of looked how I remember looking when I was 16. And it was kind of awkward at first, and then we just, you know, talked about things, and I remember waking up after and just thinking, firstly, what the fuck? What the actual fuck? Secondly, I remember thinking, okay, so that's like another recent dream that I have had about somebody from my past. It just so happens that this time it was me. And I just thought, is this a message? Because, you know, I've been having so many weird dreams, and I really, you can call me crazy, I don't care. I really do think it's all connected. I don't know. You know, it was just very weird. And I think about that sometimes, you know, what it would be like to be there with me from the past, and what would she think about, you know, what I've done with her life that she hasn't lived yet, you know, and would she, ever really be prepared for everything, you know, the good things, the bad things? I don't know. It's just kind of weird sometimes, you know. Because I could not stop, I lost you. I found a way to find you, but I lost you again, again, again. The search begins again, again, again. I could have brushed the evil from your hand, made you tea, peppermint, sit with you as you talk to me about the band you used to play in, old covers that nobody in any bar you bothered wanted to hear. You didn't ask about me again. You only talk about you again. I'm wondering why I came back again, 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 again. Speaking of the past, that is from an old notebook of mine, and I took what it was then, and I, you know, edited it and changed it and rewrote some parts, and that's how it became that. And I think I know who it was about, but because I wrote it, the initial version anyway, almost 7 years ago, I'm not entirely sure. Like, I think I know. But if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter, because, you know, I have a tendency, you know, to... to abandon literally everybody I know after a certain period of time. So it's not like I'm going to talk to them and tell them anyway. oh my God. But I... no, I think I know who it is. I think. You see, that would be one of the advantages of being able to just go back in time and speak to my previous selves. I could just go up to 20-year-old me and be like, hey bitch, who's this about? She'd probably be really outraged, actually, because when I was that age, I was Jesus Christ, I was very obsessed with you know, sort of trying to portray this sort of, you know, sweet persona. You know, I don't swear, I don't drink, I don't do any of that. I mean, I was doing all of those things, you know. Honestly, you should have seen me, you know, sort of at the SU bar, but I, you know, I would try and pretend to people that I met that didn't know me that I was very ladylike and very lovely and very, you know, I've no idea why, because I mean, firstly, I'm pretty sure they would have been able to tell, and secondly, who the fuck cares? What business is it, I can't even talk at this point, of theirs if I decide to use colourful language and, you know, spend way more money than I should on alcohol in between lectures. Like, you know, life was fucking hard, okay? It was a wild time, you know? But, oh my God. We used to have a lecture, I think about 10, I want to say it was 10, I don't know. So we would have a lecture about 10, and then we wouldn't have the seminar until about 4. So I had sort of between 11 and 4 where I had nothing to do. And it didn't make sense to go home because it took me a fucking hour to get there anyway. So by the time I got home, I'd have sort of an hour or so before I had to leave again. So we would always just stay on campus, and we'd always say, oh, maybe we should go to the library. Maybe we should go to the park. No, we're going to go to the SU. We're going to go to the Union Bar. It's going to be great. And we'd always just say, oh, we'll just have one. We'll have a bit of food. It'll be fine. And then by sort of about 2-3 o'clock, several drinks later, I literally... I think there was maybe sort of 5 or 6 of those seminars that I didn't turn up too drunk, but I still passed the year, so it's fine. But I think I probably made more sense when I was drunk, actually. I don't know. Although maybe it wasn't that I made more sense. It was just more that I was more willing to actually give answers and actually talk to other people that weren't my friends. But, you know, I... Oh, God. You see, maybe 20-year-old me would judge me now, but I would just look at her and I would say, bitch, you're probably drunk right now. Don't come at me like that. Don't look at me with that look. Because I know the exact one, because it's on my face, just, you know, from several years ago. And, you know, so she can try and fucking judge me, but I'll just be like, well, bitch, I learned it from you, okay? So... I like to think she'd like me. I don't know. I am staring at the ceiling. The eyes you loved don't blink tonight. You wedge your hands to the soft skin of my neck, then carry me across the threshold to the living room. You love me so deeply that I fall into the floor, under the insulation, taking all of your secrets to my graceful grave. You lay sometimes on the bare boards, covered in my clothes, asking the air for my perfume, pleading in pathetic whispers for me to forgive you. It's not even Halloween and I'm just like serving you murderous drama. You're welcome. Although it has just occurred to me, I don't actually know if insulation is in the floor, because I've just thought about it and I think maybe it's in the roof. But you know what? I don't build houses. That's not my job. I don't know how to do that. If you gave me all the things that go into a house, I wouldn't know where they go. I'm just going to put that down to artistic license, because I like that line where it is. And we can just pretend it's like some kind of abstract thing. I don't fucking know. Maybe I could get away with it, like, you know how J.K. Rowling does the thing where she's like, you know, Dobby was actually a taxidermist or something. Like, I could do that, like, just make things up, I don't know. Anyway, I wrote that after watching, this program about John Christie, who was a serial killer here in the UK. I found the whole thing very upsetting and disturbing for many reasons. Firstly, because this guy, you know, not only had the audacity and the depravity to kill a bunch of people who were really just minding their business, but he was also happy to let somebody else take the blame for some of his crimes. And I just... And the person, Timothy Evans, who ended up being blamed for some of this guy's crimes, ended up being executed. And I just think, wow, that's horrible. You know, it's so horrible. Not only did this poor man lose his wife and his child, he was then executed himself for a crime he didn't commit. Like, that's just so sad and horrible. And meanwhile, this guy, John Christie, goes on to kill again so many different times, including his wife, which is what I wrote that last thing about, because I just thought, God, that's just so... Oh, why? Like, you know, if you marry someone, you're supposed to love them, right? You know, and it's supposed to be the person you love most, and you're going to love them forever. I don't understand. Like, Even, like, people I've been in relationships with that I low-key hated, I would still never do that to them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how that happens in your head, how you just think, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, it's just so fucking gross and disgusting, and I hate it. But it was a really, like, disturbing program. But it was really interesting as well. And the guy who played him, he was so good. Like, he just really kind of... Like, while I was watching it, like, I felt, like, physically unsettled and kind of, like, repulsed every time he was on screen, because, like, this guy was just giving this performance, you know what I mean? I was shook, you know? And I was like, if I saw somebody who had that kind of vibe in public, I would just call the police as a precautionary measure, because I would just feel like this is a person who's going to try and murder me. I can't. But, yeah. So, as we've established, I don't know how to build a house. Maybe the insulation's in the roof, maybe it's in the floor. I don't know. But let's all make an agreement right here, together. Let's not commit any murders. Good job, guys. We stayed up all night as my voice filled your body with blood. Concentrated on corruption, we felt out a constellation. I tasted trouble on my tongue as you took me in your arms. Give me hope, give me heaven, something to regret and to remember. Surrender on my lips, help me sleep, then wake me up again. Did you think of me under the sheets? Your name has lost all meaning and becomes a silly little song. Repeats from the lips you relentlessly kiss, high and sweet. I think sometimes I like the situations that I create more than actual, you know, in real life. In person, you know, encounters. Because, listen, you can create your own perfect little moment all by yourself, and it's wonderful, and you can hear the sounds that you like, and you can feel the things you want, and see the things you want, and, you know, it can be really magical and special. But, you know, I just feel like sometimes, you know, it can be all ruined, you know, in the harsh light of day. I don't know. I also kind of wrote a song based on what I just read. But that's not going to be coming out for a while, because I've only recorded like a very like rough demo, because I just wanted to get it down out of my head and into something I can work with, you know, before I forget it and get distracted and go do something else. But and that was kind of a different perspective of it, you know, like I've done with a couple of my other things that I've written. So, you know, sometimes I'm very interested in the idea of, you know, really getting to explore another person. And sometimes I will not entertain the idea or the concept. And so the poem, I suppose, is about the times when I will, and the song is about the times when I won't. So it'll be a nice, fun, interesting contrast, I suppose. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning when I wrote the poem, and I was just sort of lying in bed, you know, reading. I was, for the millionth time, for the millionth time, I was rereading Pet Sematary, because I'm gonna go and see the film when it comes out, and I wanted to reread it before. And it's a little weird, you know, reading something as scary and horrifying as Pet Sematary, and then suddenly thinking, you know what I want to do? I want to write a poem that is very quite blatantly about sex. That's what I want to do. But, you know, this is what happens to me. Sometimes I'll just be minding my own business, doing something else, and my brain is like, hey, bitch, we need to do this. And I'm like, really? I'm doing something else. Can we do this later? And my brain is like, no, because you'll forget. Come on, I know you better than anyone. Don't be like that. You know the truth. So I had to do it. But, you know, and it just kind of all kind of flowed out, and I was like, okay, all right. I put my phone down and I was like, I'm gonna edit this in the morning, you know, because I'm not in the right, you know, moment to do it now. And so I looked back at it the next day, and I had to go back over it. And then that's sort of when I thought, you know, let me, you know, kind of come up with something else to kind of go with it. Although it won't go with it, because this song is probably going to be released much, much later. I say much, much later, but I'm actually sort of planning it for sort of the summer. But yeah, so that was fun. I did get back to Pet Sematary eventually. I did. Which is good, because it is a classic. Okay, kids, that's all for tonight's episode, but I will see you next week. On Sunday, as usual. You can find more of my work at my website, which is jennifer1.com. You can also find me on social media, which is with the username Miss J Squared on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere basically. There is currently a special offer on my Patreon, still don't know how to say that, where all new and existing subscribers from now until the end of April will receive a signed, limited edition print of one of my poems and a handwritten note. So that's fun and exciting for you. Subscribers also get early access to projects that I release, and they also get access to my very, very secret and fun Instagram, where I post lots of behind the scenes content and things like that. And subscriptions start from just $1. So that is something you may like to consider. I will be
I'll be appearing at two dates in London next month. I believe advance tickets have now sold out, but there will be some tickets available to purchase on the night of the performances. You can check the description or on my website for further details about how to really experience what we have just shared in person, if that is something that you are inclined to do. As always, I want to thank my wonderful friend Amanda, because she's the greatest, she's the coolest, she's the nicest, and we love her. And I will see you next week. Good night, my love.